Fears of a global currency war are simmering.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. Today, the head of the International Monetary Fund voiced concern about how governments are tinkering with exchange rates as a way to tackle their weak domestic economies. At the same time, in Europe this morning, the EU-China summit is focused on the currency issue, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with that. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
All right, so we've seen in this country there's been this cry over the weakness of China's currency, the yuan. Does Europe share that concern?
Yes, I would say probably just as much as the US. Europe is China's biggest export market, and there is a widespread feeling here that the Chinese are flooding this market with goods that are partly cheap because the Chinese are holding down the value of their currency. This, of course, makes it correspondingly difficult for European exporters to sell into China. And this is pretty clearly reflected in the figures. In the first half of this year, the EU sold about $100 billion worth of goods to the Chinese, much less than half what the Chinese sold to Europe.
And Europe and China aside for just a moment, Stephen, it seems the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is fearful about a worldwide currency problem. Is that right?
Yes. So he says that the effect of central banks around the world cutting interest rates and printing more money, which, of course, the US, among others, have done, the effect of this is to drive down the value of individual currencies. The IMF chief says this is dangerous. If everyone does it, everyone will then rush to protect their own industries from a flood of cheap imports, and international trade will suffer. The IMF chief says this could easily derail the global recovery.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. World markets are adding some value today. Global stocks are up more than 1% on average. More reaction from that Japanese central bank interest rate cut yesterday. A banner day on Wall Street. The S&P and NASDAQ each added more than 2%. And the Dow tacked on nearly that much yesterday, 193 points to close at 10,944. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is facing bankruptcy. The city's mayor has asked for state aid to avoid defaulting on bondholders who are already suing for overdue debt payments. But Harrisburg isn't the only city facing financial foreclosure. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Harrisburg made a bad bet on a trash incinerator and now runs a deficit larger than its budget. The city will enter a state recuperation program that includes painful service cutbacks and higher taxes. More and more cities are looking to states for financial rescue, but the Urban Institute's Kim Rubin says in many cases, states have been hit harder than cities.
Local budgets are actually in better shape in that property tax revenues haven't really declined as much as state income taxes and sales taxes have.
Still, the National League of Cities finds 8 in 10 local governments are cutting services like police, fire, and school programs. The league's Chris Haney did the survey.
So there's going to be this push and pull, this negotiation between local and state governments about who funds services and covers the gaps.
Haney says only a growing economy that generates more tax revenue will ease the situation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The latest midterm election polls show Democrats may very well lose control of Congress. Conservatives have been campaigning on the theme of financial responsibility, given our nation's deficits the past few years. It's a popular theme that economist mom Diane Lim Rogers, chief economist at the Concord Coalition, says is easy to talk about, yet so hard to follow through. And she's with us right now. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to start with the Tea Party candidates. A lot of these candidates are promoting smaller government and lower taxes and lesser government deficits. I mean, is their rise good news for fiscal responsibility?
Unfortunately, I think that the Tea Party movement has been more about low taxes and less about the low spending that would be needed to get us to low deficits at the same time.
House Republicans have put this pledge to America together, promising fiscal responsibility. Is that a serious plan? Can you look at that and say that's fiscal responsibility?
It is a vague pledge. They don't get specific on the ways that they would actually reduce the deficit or get back to fiscal sustainability over the longer term.
All right, let's talk about the Democrats now and the Bush tax cuts that are set to expire at the end of this year. The Democrats argue that the fiscal responsible thing to do would be to allow the tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans to expire. Do the Democrats win any award for fiscal responsibility with that idea?
Although it is true that if you let the upper brackets expire, you save about $700 billion over 10 years, you're still choosing to extend most of the Bush tax cuts at a cost of over $2 trillion over those same 10 years.
Diane, why should people care about this? Why should parents care about fiscal responsibility?
If you care about the future for your children, if you work really hard to save for your kids' education, if you take care of them and take them to doctor's appointments and pay for violin lessons and pay for SAT prep courses, you are working against yourself if at the same time you support candidates that promise things that are really too good to be true. And unfortunately, it's going to be our kids that pay for the bills that we are not willing to pay now.
Diane Lim Rogers, chief economist at the Concord Coalition. She's got a blog, economistmom.com. Diane, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, the next time you step into the liquor store, you could be stepping back in time. Marketers are trying to recreate peach brandy made by George Washington. The father of our country not only led his men across the icy Delaware, he also produced a lot of booze. In 1799 alone, his distillery put out 11,000 gallons of whiskey, which could explain what's referred to now as the cherry tree incident. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.